Welcome to the Next Brave Thing podcast. My name is Ella Hooper, and I believe that breakthrough is on the other side of bravery. This podcast features brave stories, emotional health, and creativity to inspire you to take your next brave step. Today on the podcast, I'm going to be exploring wholehearted guidepost number 9, cultivating meaningful work, letting go of self-doubt and supposed to. Probably one of the biggest things I talk about in my coaching with people is what we're going to do for a job. Like, what career am I going to have? I'm stuck in my career, and how do I expand? How do I up level? How do I find a job I actually love? And then there's a lot of like cultural things out there that tell us that, you know, we should really love our job and be passionate about our job all the time. And I just think sometimes there's like our society has gone through different like ideas around work. Like, probably the baby boomers were less about like doing the thing you love, more about like doing what's practical and what's going to bring provision. And I do think, like, I think back to when I was in my 20s, there was a huge kind of, it felt like a movement of like, go and be whatever you want. And I think in some ways, like, I was raised in that. And I think it was a great thing, because I'm really glad that I went and studied acting. And I'm really glad that I was sort of released to go follow my passion. And I think that something that my dad would often say is like, you are incredibly passionate. Like, how could we not want you to follow your passion? But then I think with a bit of life on me, I think that passion dwindles. And I think that finding your passion, finding your purpose, finding meaningful work can kind of feel like a burden, like a pressure. Especially when there's a lack of clarity that we find in our identity and a lack of sense of self. And yeah, so finding passion and finding purpose, and especially when we're so like, it's really hard to see something through, and we don't like pain, and we don't like, yeah, just the negative side of pursuing a dream and a career, and where we second guess ourselves of like, maybe I shouldn't be pursuing this thing. So I'm excited to unpack this today with you, this guidepost. And I think a lot of finding meaningful work in your life is a lot connected to, yeah, figuring out who you are as an identity, who you are, and getting clarity about, if you can have clarity about who you are and different pillars that are important in your life, what feels authentic to you, what lights you up, what drains you. If you're kind of on that self-development journey and like really learning about like, oh, where do I feel life and what do I feel called to? And then I think if you've grown up in Christian culture and different kind of denominations or culture can create a lot of high stakesness around your purpose and your calling. And it can feel like if you're working as at the cash register at a supermarket, then you're failing your purpose and your calling, and you're not enough and you're not doing enough. And it just can feel so exhausting and so much pressure and so much, oh, I'm supposed to know what I'm supposed to do. And I think so many people are saying this now, but like, to make a career decision at the age of 18 is so crazy to me. Like, and I think that like, it's actually really healthy for us to look at stories of people who are making it in their 50s or finding business success in their 60s or finding a new career later in life, because I think that it's such a trap and it's such a bondage to kind of think that you should really know what you're doing in your 20s and 30s. Like, you know, I think it's like we need a little bit more grace around what we're doing. And so I think that it's really important to kind of go on a journey of self-discovery. And really looking at like, how was I programmed? Like this idea in the guidepost, it says cultivating meaningful work and letting go of self-doubt and supposed to. So self-doubt really feels connected to how you see yourself and what you believe you're capable of and what your sense of self-trust. And then supposed to is like usually about societal programming. I feel like I'm supposed to pursue this career because that's what my family expects of me. And I think that learning to find what's meaningful to you, you have to actually work through a lot of the triggers that come up around self-doubt. So if you feel like, I really want to pursue being an artist, or I really want to have my own business, the thing that you're probably going to have to work through a lot of is self-doubt. And maybe even the supposed to of like, this isn't normal in my family or the culture or the church that I grew up in. Like, we don't see people pursuing this thing. So, having that kind of programming. I know for me, growing up Christian, I really wanted to pursue acting. And a lot of the people in my life, more so in my early 20s, I wasn't in my 20s yet, but like there was definitely Christians who thought it was like sinful or bad or whatever. And so I had to kind of like ignore that and go, well, this thing is authentic and honest in me. Like I know I'm supposed to, in a good way, pursue this thing. But then I had to rumble through my own self-doubts. And usually when you have self-doubts about like pursuing something, then anyone around you that's going to say, hey, play it safe, go on, you know, do the career that's, you know, be the lawyer because you're from a family of lawyers, like do the thing you're supposed to do. Like it's always going to trigger your own self-doubt that you've already got inside you versus like having a strong sense of self and being okay with other people having different opinions about what you should be doing with your life. But then I think as I've kind of matured and I've helped pioneer a university, be a part of a startup, like I actually see the value in stable careers, in things that feel, you know, stable and maybe a little boring. Like I think there's something healthy to that. And so we don't want to like throw out the baby with the bathwater, because I do see a lot of people kind of flailing around, not really sure what they're doing and having no compass in their pursuing being an entrepreneur or pursuing any sort of career that's not as stable. And so I think it's like important to approach this like and move away from black and white thinking. Like I think that nuance is really important. So if you really feel this calling to start a business, like you're not a failure if you have to work a 9 to 5 until that business is up and running. I think there's this idea that I should be all in and like fully give my whole attention to starting this business. And the thing is, like a huge need that we have is security and a sense of safety. And when you're starting a business, you want to feel in your creative flow state and in a place of like not needing anything. But when you're kind of desperate to make sales, or, you know, that Instagram that you posted has to have over 1,000 views because, you know, you need to have engagement and then you're going to sell your product or whatever it is, like that gets you into another kind of hustle. And so I think that as you go on a journey of learning what a meaningful career for you is, like it's really good place to start with like, what are your values? What is important to you? Maybe you're a bit later in life and you have had a bit of a career and you've kind of worked in different kind of jobs and you're looking for another job. I think I would be thinking about like what culture is important to you? What kind of culture do you want to work in? And sometimes it's like a call to up-level the way that you see yourself, like that you're actually worthy of a job that aligns with your values, like and not settling for jobs that make you feel worthless and exhausted. So I think it's like super important because to think through from all those different angles, like I think that it's unrealistic to, I mean, it's quite rare to work in a company culture where it ticks all the boxes. And so I think that having a realistic approach, but learning how to like get your needs met from other places makes you feel autonomous and empowered. So for me in my old job, like I definitely felt like there was a ceiling that I reached, especially like if you're a pioneer and you've built something, you probably like would be a little bored in your job if you're just managing the whole time. And so I know for me, having my coaching business as a side thing, and having my podcast and teaching at different places actually created a sense of like empowerment and autonomy that I was building something and creating something separate from building the university. So it felt like because the university is going to be what it will be. Like it's not mine. I don't have ownership over it. So it's like, where can I find that sense of empowerment? Because sometimes like we're looking for promotion to give us that sense of meaning or accomplishment in our business, but there might also be a call to start your own thing. And I meet a lot with people who are launching their own business or, you know, a product or whatever. And I think it's really helpful to really like break down your process into phases so that you don't put all these big expectations on like, it's going to blow up and I'm going to be a millionaire in the next 6 months. Like, because there's so many Instagram ads out there that are trying to like promote shortcuts and quick fixes. But most of the time, the reality is like learning to show up consistently. And I love James Clear. He's the author of Atomic Habits. And I think he is so good. He's so concise and clear whenever. And I love that his last name is literally Clear because that's kind of what he embodies. And I highly recommend Atomic Habits. It's such a good book. But his two quotes that I love is, use the best idea you have right now. Claiming you need to learn more or get your ducks in a row is just a crutch that prevents you from starting. Education is a lifelong pursuit. You will always need to learn more. It's not a reason to wait. And I love that because a lot of the time we are kept on the sidelines of pursuing something because we don't feel qualified and we need more education. But your best education will actually come from choosing an idea and seeing it through to completion. And then I love this second quote. He says, one study looked at artists who started at the bottom and worked their way to successful careers. The researchers identified one factor that was consistent across the group. They performed far more shows than the average artist. So I think that's really encouraging because I think a lot of people go into their self-doubt when they post one time or they show up one time. And I'm aware right now, my little ADHD brain, I'm kind of bouncing everywhere. But basically, like, especially if you feel the call to kind of start something, like, the reality is, like, you have to kind of keep showing up and have your goal to be consistent versus to be, like, viral in, like, one post or whatever. And because I think that, like, if you connect to the person you're becoming in the process of putting things out there, and you connect that to be the vision versus like the uncontrollable outcome of whether people like your products or want to listen to what you have to say. Like that is always going to be, that's going to trigger all your self-doubt triggers, you know? So if you can have a good focus and a good anchor that you come back to of like your why and why it's meaningful to you and why you find joy in creating what you're creating in the process, it's going to actually sustain you. And I think with self-doubt, it's very connected to self-sabotage. I think that self-doubt is, it's really hard to trust ourselves when We haven't really learned how to listen to our intuition and to follow through on certain things. And so I always think of like self-trust and self-doubt really going hand in hand. And it's like if you had, a disagreement or a breaking of trust with someone, usually there's like a repair process and a forgiveness process to go through. And so some of you might need to have that with yourself as you learn how to show up consistently. You learn to see things through even when you feel triggered. So for me, I know what I'm like when I get triggered or when I spiral. Like when I first launched the podcast, actually it took me like a year or two. I think I talked about launching a podcast for a long time. And then finally I started taking action. And I definitely had to rumble through so much self-doubt and so much smallness around what I thought about myself. And I think it's really easy to feel like almost like, oh yeah, I have what it takes when you're dreaming and you feel really good about it. And then you go to take action and it feels clunky and it feels awkward and you have the cringe factor because if you're launching something on social media, you're seeing yourself. Like it's all really good stuff to work through, all really good self-love testing coming up and self-acceptance. But I always think like self-doubt to me always feels like inner child work, like where it kind of brings up this. I mean, I was fortunate enough to have parents who did believe in me, but I think there's something that little Ella absorbed of like, I'm not capable or I can't see something through, I don't know, from not being really good at school and not being very academic. And so a lot of what I'm kind of doing, especially around work, is a lot of reparenting of like, I believe that you can run a business. I believe that you can do your accounting and go do your taxes. And like believing in yourself is kind of like a reparenting process and almost giving yourself the support and belief and attention to your inner child that you wish that you had. Because a lot of our emotions that come up when we're triggered around pursuing, even like if you're in a job or any career, like it usually is like an inner child trigger that's coming up of like self-doubt and throwing a tantrum and not feeling worthy and not feeling good enough. And so when we can learn to kind of reparent that part of us, then it's almost like the discipline of showing up consistently becomes easier and easier. And I think this is just like a word of advice for anyone who's kind of launching into something new or putting out something new. It is really, 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 really normal to second guess yourself. And because your brain doesn't like anything that's not familiar. So when you're pursuing something that's new, of course you're going to doubt yourself because it's unfamiliar. So you're retraining yourself to feel familiar in it. I used to feel so much cringe and so like paranoid about everything that I would say on the podcast or like putting something out there, owning my story. Like I would feel so many emotions around it. Now I literally have zero feelings posting or talking on social media. Like I really don't have a problem. And I think, yeah, I think a big thing also is any sort of career block or even in your business, like when there's sort of a block, it's usually because you're hiding. You're not actually fully showing up. And so when you step out of hiding and you're feeling safe in being seen, that's usually when promotion comes, where, breakthrough happens. And I even think like I've just been talking a lot about startups or, you know, starting something. And that's been a lot of my world for the last 10 years is that side of things. But I also do work with clients who are executives and who are kind of struggling, especially women. I haven't heard this as much from men, but sometimes like the reason why we don't step into promotion is because it doesn't feel safe to be big as a woman. And so part of like your wanting to find a meaningful career is like actually stepping into your leadership as a woman, because 100% I'm sure you have what it takes, but sometimes like we're kind of engineered and programmed to kind of be small. And so it feels unsafe being big. And an example of that might be like, oh, people would compare themselves to you, people would get jealous of you, or there would be bitchiness that might happen if you're big. Who does she think she is? So a lot of the time, like, we kind of make ourselves smaller and smaller so we don't feel that kind of attack on our identity. And that's why it's really important to actually learn how to take up space and feel safe taking up space, and learning to, like, observe maybe the people who feel critical but not absorb it, and actually learn how to, like, show up graceful when people have their triggers coming up and not internalizing it. And I think that, you know, sometimes the reason why we don't have a meaningful career is because we're waiting for someone else to pick us, when you need to just pick yourself and learn how to take up space and learn how to be in the fullness that of who you are. So I hope today's episode has been helpful. I think that you owe it to yourself to believe in yourself. I know a lot of us are looking for someone to see us in the crowd and pull us out and say, you're going to do amazing things with your life. But often the person who needs to do that the most is you. To yourself. So thanks for listening today. If you need a coach that's on your team that wants to support you in you becoming your fullness, that is what I'm here for. So feel free to book in a free discovery call. But I love this guidepost because we spend most of our time at work. And so we want to have a career that feels in alignment and feels good, you know? Anyway, thanks for listening today, guys.
Thanks for listening today. Please download, share with your friends, and write a review. If you would like to book in a life coaching session with me, go to my website at www.ella-hooper.com or follow me on Instagram at Next Brave Thing Podcast.